Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric, and thank you for joining us once again, whether it's in the car or, you know, contemplating suicide as you're about to veer into oncoming traffic. We're glad that you're spending your time with us, and that's what's most important to us here. Thank you. This is our final Fansgiving episode. Big shout out to Taylor Jenkins for the movie selection. It was really awesome. Got a couple of stories in this one. One about a show I did at a brewery recently, which wasn't maybe the best show that we've ever had, but it happened, and we got stories from it. But if I could implore you from the bottom of my heart, in this holiday season that we're in, the high holidays, if you will, for our Jewish brethren out there, hop on the iTunes, the Stitcher, whatever platform you listen to us on, and drop us a 5-star rating. It means the world to us, costs you absolutely nothing, and it's just a big help in general. So, without further ado, get strapped in, turn the motherfucking volume up to 11, and get ready for Sleepaway Camp.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Song of the South for Quality Time once.
Yeah.
You think that'd be a good one? A happy Disney
classic
film we can all watch
happy
and enjoy?
Disney.
I don't know, you know? But hey, listen, we're back. We're here. It's the Quality Time Podcast, boys. Welcome back.
Doesn't seem dated at all.
No, so. I think do you think it holds up, Song of the South, tonight? Do you think it's real? Do you think it'd be popular? Oh, yeah. Anyway,
there's nothing racist about white people making music for black people at all.
Yeah, so, nothing at all. Anyway, my name is Eric Woodworth. I'm your host, and I'm joined by, as always, by my blood and my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is joining us on the cast show this evening?
It's me, Caitlyn Jenner.
That you sounded so much like Caitlyn. I thought she was in the room right now.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's actually me.
Hey, it's me, Caitlyn Jenner, everybody.
I was on the Wheaties box.
It's good to see everybody again.
This is... We have another episode for Fansgiving, Jeremy. This one, this week, Taylor Jenkins is our gentleman who made the pick this week. Taylor Jenkins, big fan of the show.
Definitely heard of the name.
Definitely heard of the name.
Did
I don't know if
him?
I don't know if you met Taylor Jenkins or not. He's come to a bunch of my shows though. He's
was
really
he in
nice.
That bathroom when I had the glory hole?
Yeah, he was doing all the
I
sucking.
I was making good
fucking
money that night.
He was sucking up a storm that night because that's what our fans do. No, he wasn't. He's a very nice gentleman. Him and his wife, Allison, are super nice, and I love him to death. So, and big listeners of the show. So they gave us a good pick for this week. And you know what we do have, Jeremy? I think we'll just hop right on into it. Maybe I'll tell a quip. Maybe I'll tell a story. But
ooh,
I feel like we're on a roll. I feel like we're on a roll. Here's a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson.
Okay, Joe Robinson's corrections. You know, coming off last week, Jeremy, I don't know if we're going to have better Joe Robinson corrections
ooh
than last week, you know, because that was his best.
Oh, before you finish Joe's Robinson's corrections, he sent me a personal text this week saying thanks for not committing suicide.
That was nice. That was good.
I think so. Yeah.
That was good. Hell yeah, man.
Although I think if I did commit suicide, it would all be Joe's fault.
That's a good bit.
That one correction that just set it.
It set me the fuck off.
I couldn't handle the last correction. Oh, if I ever do, it's all because my life has spiraled into shit. So, and it's all my fault.
So there's not a lot of Joe Robinson corrections, but in regards to our Commando episode, he just wanted to mention this. This is not a correction, but I had talked about how those 8-year-olds came into my comedy show last week.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, not a correction, but when I saw Deadpool 2, there was an 8-year-old there. Just wanted to add that in. So now, there's terrible parents everywhere.
Didn't you kind of make the allusion that the parents seemed very Jewish?
You know, I don't like to guess, but there's a possibility. Possibility. I mean,
he didn't have to be wearing a yarmulke, but you kind of played him off as if he was kind of Jewish.
He seemed like the chosen person people to speak to your manager. 100%. Yeah, I'd say that's a strong guess.
From my recollection, you kind of made it seem like I could take my youngsters anywhere that I want them to go.
Yeah, I believe that my children are very adult. I mean, that's just how he talked. I don't know what his ethnicity or religion is.
We have both have very good Jewish friends that don't really cook, actually fit the cookie cutter stereotype that might come from Pikesville. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They would be considered shiksas. So,
they even eat ham.
Yeah, they love ham. So
we make them eat it with us. So it's like sinning and for us.
So Joe did mention that it's easily one of your best songs that you've ever
done. Which one?
I think Benny and Bennett.
He said
easily one of your best songs. Actual melody. Actual understandable joke. Minimal echo. So he gave you. I replied back to him. I said, those are all problems in my eyes. So I don't agree. That
was
one
of
your strongest songs.
With the fact that Benny, you actually made me think of Benny and the Jets just by saying that. But obviously, Benny is the guy who gets screwed in Total Recall. So
okay. Now, yeah. I posed you a question in the episode for Commando, Jeremy. I said, what's Ray Dong Chong's best movie? And you said it's this. And Joe Robinson, this is his correction really for the episode.
Okay.
Ray Dong Chong's easily her best movie is the Thomas C. Howell movie where he's in blackface the whole time.
Yeah, Soul Man.
Soul Man would be the best Ray Dong Chong.
Well, as an entire movie, but I still think her best part was the gargoyle from Dark Side of the Moon of Dark Side Tales. Dark Tales. Dark Tales.
Yes, Dark Tales.
Dark Tales.
We are gonna tell some dark tales.
Tales from the Dark Side,
And then his last correction is, there was no correction. He just wrote in quotation marks, John...
I have to question whether Joe Robinson has actually seen Quest for Fire.
Yeah, maybe he hasn't. Joe, let us know if you've seen Quest for Fire.
Yeah, and whether or not he'd like...
Because I haven't. I don't even know what you're talking about.
All the lines that she had from that movie, so...
Now, he put in quotation marks, which made me laugh. I guess we're supposed to be talking about Jared Leto, but...
Are we back to the Leto thing again?
Apparently, you went one step Lego. Further. You went John Leto. And he just went, ugh, God.
Why do I bother with these guys? I try to, it just gets worse.
I try to make the show better, and all they do is just take my corrections and they shit on them. There's nothing I can do about it.
You know, you correct them, it gets worse. Why? So
every time. It's like, why do I even send these? Why do I even send them? They're not going to fix it.
If we only had like an image of Joe in the studio, and every time that we just say something, we just have like his face come up to his hands to cover his face.
God. Why?
Someday, someday when we get a live cam, yes. Or we just sit here with our penises dangling out, you know, in camera. So.
Yeah,
see anything interesting? See any dick here?
See anything you like here? Yeah,
which
that's
will be
nice.
The balls cam for Chris for Steve-O to watch.
So. Oh, man. Balls cam. By the way, are you coming to Chris for Steve-O's birthday on Friday?
No, I'll be working because I need to make a dollar.
I think me and a couple of the boys are going to go down and visit Chris for Steve-O.
Is this
going to
be at the Millstream?
Where, I mean, you mean his house?
Yes. Where he lives.
The place where he lives? Yeah,
where
we're going
to
go.
Where he sells t-shirts to strippers. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to wear one of my Chris for Steve-O t-shirts, I think, show up. I'm going to have some good stories to share with the pod.
Oh, by the way, I found out at work that all the pallets say MAGA on them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? Are they making like a statement at the pallet place that they're actually for Trump? It's like, no. The guy that actually owns the company, his name is some sort of, I don't know, Nicaraguan name. His name is MAGA.
My name is MAGA. I'm Nicaraguan, you bastard!
I don't know where they make...
I was making pallets great for years!
What is the biggest brand of bananas out there? Or no...
Plantains,
No, it has nothing to do with it. It's nothing to do. It's just the pallet place. But I guess the pallets are made in some other South American country.
Hello, my name is Charles MAGA. I am Cuban gynecologist and also pallet maker. So, come here to get your pussy jacked, and
Sean,
I make you send you home on pallet.
I pointed this out to Sean, and he's the one that Sean L. who gave me the information about this.
Ah.
So we talked about that.
Your knowledge of pallets is so it's so vast.
You know it. Did I write any pallet songs?
Wait a minute. Do you have a part four to the pallet check?
Working on the pallets, making
Whoa!
Pallets. Working at Joe Stein's or Caton Avenue. Well, Matheny worked and he'd like to kill prostitutes and put them in his barbecue sauce. Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right, cool. I like it.
Hey, Joe Stein. Maybe I'll call him up and make a buck off his pallet place. So. Yeah, thanks a lot. You know, you really help out my pallet place by singing songs about murderers in Baltimore. So.
Thanks a lot, pal. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Joe Stein.
Jerry, I had a show last week at it was at a brewery.
Was it
actually,
show or was it your
it was
stand-up?
It was a stand-up comedy show. It was at a brewery in D.C., Atlas Brewery.
Please
shout
tell me
out.
You got paid in free beer.
I did get paid in free beer. That
yes.
was accurate. It was actually hosted by our guest, Eric Cucciaravi, from a couple weeks ago. He came in for the House of 1,000 Corpses episode. So I'm doing his show.
Otherwise known as Eric Cucci Cucci.
Eric Cucci Cucci. It's me, Eric Cucci Cucci.
That's my nickname for him.
That's good. That's cute. I'm sure he'll love that.
He will kill me now.
He will murder me. Now, so I went up there. And I show up, and it's a loud brewery. We were already told, they were like, listen, we do comedy night here, but we're not allowed to really yell at the patrons. A lot of people just have a good time here. So if they don't want to listen, we're not really supposed to heckle them and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. I'm here. I'm going to have some free beers. Jeremy, at the start of the show, there's probably like 35 people. There's maybe five of them that are watching the show. And then they're in a giant open room. And the sound of like the crowd chatter is almost deafening.
Wow.
And I'm headlining this show. I'm headlining
going... That drives certain comedians insane.
I mean, so I already have in the back of my mind, this isn't going to be a great show, but we're gonna see how the night goes, right? So I'm watching comic after comic go up. Well, and they just kind of do their bits, and they realize, like, we all kind of realize, I'm like, this is probably as good as it's going
to
get, whatever,
now,
right?
I'd like to think I know you well enough so that... when it's time for you to go up on stage that you're literally going to drop trow in front of everybody. Or I'm thinking you're thinking you want to.
See, and I think a younger Eric Woodworth, he would have done this. 2010 Eric Woodworth, he gets naked on stage to get attention at this point. But
I think it was the best bit that Mikey Cucciola ever did. So
Mikey Cucciola. Yeah, I like that. I watched... First of all, the guy who
Did
went
I
up
say
before
Mikey
me,
or Mickey?
You called him Mikey Cucciola. I'm going to let it ride, though. I'm going to let Mikey Cucciola ride.
He's Mikey to me.
Don't fix it. Let Joe Robinson do the talking.
I think
talking.
He was on the radio a while ago.
Yeah, he was raised on the radio, actually.
He was one of the Ravens.
Yeah. So
not the team, but the band, the Ravens.
Yeah, we should get Mikey Cucciola. Do you think Mikey would come on the show?
Gosh, I wish.
Let's send him a message.
I love that little man.
Let's send him Mikey. Yo, Mike. Hey, Mike, you can chill. You come on my quality podcast?
Yeah. Hey, dude, listen up. Straight up. What do you guys talk about? We talk about like movies and stuff like that. Oh, dude. Hey, you guys ever seen Top Gun before?
I miss his true Baltimore accent too.
Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. What movie would you pick if we had Mikey Coachella up here?
It's his choice. He's the big enough celebrity to this show.
And see, I was throwing you. It says I hope you would like pick a good movie for him.
Tin Men.
What if we did Five Will Goes West and we brought him in?
Diner.
What if we bought Time Bandits? What if we did?
Gosh.
Hey, did you all just pick the movie with midgets because I'm little? That's fucked up. That's real fucked up. I don't like it.
He is a small man.
No, so back to the show, Jeremy. I see this guy, and I forget his name. He was really nice. I like this kid to death. But he was warned extra special. He's like, don't attack the crowd. Like, because apparently he's a troublemaker. And I liked him. I like this kid a lot, right? He gets on stage. He opens up just by screaming into the mic for like a good 30 seconds. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be real good. Like that. All right.
Comedy alert.
But within a minute of his set, the five people that were watching comedy, they all leave.
Wow.
So now all that's left is the other 30 people that are there that are just not there to watch the show and just have drinks, right? So I watch him go on about his set. He's trying hard to get but I can see it is a futile gesture, right? I can tell that everything he's doing, while I think it's hilarious, it's a waste of energy. These people aren't going to listen, right?
Right.
He gets to the end of his set, Jeremy, and I think you would have been proud. He was just like, what do I have to do? Do I have to kill myself on stage? Huh? Is that what you need to do for me to entertain your
people?
Come
on, Joaquin Phoenix.
He pulls out a knife and then takes it to his wrist like this. He's like, how much more? How much more? It's an actual blade out. Now,
yes.
By the way, people are paying attention now. people are paying attention now. He walks like another three or four people out of there, and they're like, did that guy just pull a knife and pretend to kill himself almost? And like, so they leave. Now it's time for me to go up. Now, that was his closer. His closer was pretending to kill himself on stage, okay?
Now, that's pretty... I think that's really disgusting if anybody would pretend to cut themselves on stage and maybe pretend to be an emo. So,
oh, that's your old character, Kevin the Emo.
Kevin the Emo.
R.I.P. Kevin the Emo. Jeremy's great
he
character.
He stole from my set!
So, he gets off, I go on, and all I did... I realized that the four people that were watching that are left, they're all the comics that performed before me. So I'm like, all right, I guess I got to do a show for the four comics. I got to do 20 minutes of this, right? So all I did was tell them stories from the Quality Time podcast. And then I started shitting on people in the room that weren't listening. I'm like, look at these guys over here. Look at them. Look at them. I don't have friends this good. Do you imagine? Everybody in this bar is like in the movie Sid and Nancy. It's chaos around them. They're just looking into each other's eyes. Those two met on Grindr. And now, like, some of the people are getting on that I'm, like, shitting on people that aren't paying attention. And so they start... Some of the people pick up. But as soon as I stop shitting on people and I try to do something, they've lost all interest, right? So I ended up just telling a bunch of stories, shitting on people, telling them that they were using glory holes, everybody that went to the bathroom. And that was my set that night. And I walked away with my head held high because I didn't do any of my jokes that could have been judged. So, felt good.
Did you bring your guitar with you?
Didn't bring my guitar with me. Although, I wish I had. When I got there, I was like, man, this is the show where I'd want the guitar for it, right?
I mean, that's an ultimate backup.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't need my crutch anymore. I got jokes, baby. I don't need it. I put it like this. I want to get paid if I want to bring the guitar. You want me to bring gear? You want me to do a real set? I gotta get some cheddar cheese. And then you get to hear the Plastic Fuck Doll song. Then you get to hear maybe some of the songs that we produced for tonight's episode, because even on a short week, we came up with some fucking hotness. One song that Jeremy did that will be most likely heavily edited. But either way,
politically incorrect.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. Jeremy, should we get into tonight's topic? Tonight, we're going over the 1983 classic, Jeremy.
Do we mention our Fansgiving fan? Yeah, we did.
We mentioned our Fansgiving fan. Yeah. Who mentioned this to it?
Yes.
The 1983.
Good continuity.
The 1983 classic Sleepaway Camp.
What a soundtrack.
I actually, you know what? For a quality of movie that this is.
You know what I
This is a good-ass fucking ending track.
You know
right
what
here.
I would have called the movie?
What's that?
Meatball Murders.
Okay, Meatballs. This is
Meatballs
just
Meatballs Murders.
Maybe this is, you're saying this is part of the MCU, the Meatball Cinematic Universe.
Well, the movie, the big time movie of the year was or of years were Meatballs with Bill Murray, and hence this is trying to be a rip off of Friday the 13th. So
yeah, because Friday the 13th had already been out. It's actually, I think the year before, Friday the 13th Part 3 had just released, which is interesting because Jeremy, one of my favorite artists, I would say maybe he's in your top 10, Weird Al Yankovic, okay?
Yes.
My favorite song, okay? To, hand to God, my favorite song is Nature Trail to Hell in 3D.
Yes.
This movie, Sleepaway Camp, and what is it? Friday the 13th, Part 3, were the inspirations for Nature Trail to Hell in 3D that came out the next year. Pretty
so
exciting.
So if there is one thing it influenced, is a Weird Al Yankovic song, which makes it all worth it.
Exactly. Finally. Somebody gets it, Chair. Nature Trail to Hell.
Which, in 3D!
Well, it's important because much like Friday the 13th, there's a whole bunch of campers that get killed that you have to stick around to the very end to see all pop up in the final scene. Just like in...
Yeah, see what pops Friday. Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Weird Al, prophet of horror.
If anybody's noticing, we've had our first pun of the film.
Yes.
Well,
now, so another fun fact, Jeremy. This is the director of this film, whose name eludes me right now, but I will immediately look up. Actually, went Robert Hiltzik. Robert Hiltzik. This the camp that this was filmed at. He actually went to this camp as a child. This is so he had scouted it out beforehand.
I must say this, next to, like, say, a Toxic Avenger film, has my favorite bad acting in any film that I've ever seen. Well, maybe Legend of Boggy Creek. So
there's some good bad acting in this. When it's so bad, it's like, oh, yeah.
And maybe you can't really say the actors were that bad, but just the editing between the shots of them staring... when bad things happen.
Well, I think the worst bad acted great movie is Street Trash. Street Trash is the best bad acting
in
a movie.
I don't know. Street Trash, that's kind of like Gone with the Wind of acting.
Did you just compare Gone with the Wind with Street Trash?
Yeah, I compare either, you know, Gone with the Wind or The Godfather to Street Trash.
Okay.
Because they really did act like good bums and real losers, so.
Yeah, I will say the guy that they picked for the store owner was probably the best. He's like, what do you want? You answer for that? He's the best. He's my favorite character in that.
They gave Chris Restivo performances in that film. So.
Now, another fun fact about this movie, Jeremy, it's obviously takes place in summer. It's a summer camp, but they filmed it in the fall time, obviously, when the kids weren't there. But due to continuity, it started to become fall. They actually had to spray paint the leaves of the trees green so that they could keep the continuity of the film
it's
going.
It's a good thing that they didn't, you know, put it in the Antarctic, but it, instead of the Antarctic, everything is covered with sand because they're in the desert.
Ah, good point. Good point.
So they have to change it to a Scott of the Sahara. So.
Scott of the Sahara.
And they have a scene where they stab somebody and the blood comes out in slow motion. So,
so the movie opens up with a horrible accident, Jeremy.
Holy shit, turn it! Turn the wheel!
There's a boat and they lose control. And there's two children and a dad and the boat runs over them all.
When women drive.
Listen, I like this lady screaming. Jeremy, this is what you would direct somebody to do. You would direct it like, all right, no matter what you do, never stop screaming. Just
this,
scream for a straight
is called
minute.
Perfect editing.
Right here.
Help me. Help me.
Okay. Still going.
Is anybody helping? No. They're standing there in shock. And then, of course, the man going through the water, like a yellow submarine.
Let's add some more to the meat wagon.
By the way, I heard some really... I've been listening to a lot of rap mashups, and there is somebody who made a 25-minute mashup of the Notorious B.I.G., with Johnny Cash.
Wow.
And I freaking loved it from beginning to end. It's some good stuff, Jeremy. Some good stuff.
Is Johnny Cash really considered black music, that he, even though he's like more country?
I don't think any black...
Does he really take from like blues, classic blues?
Yeah, he ripped off of just everybody else, like
every
Elvis.
Other,
and,
every
you know,
other white person.
Yeah,
so.
Last time I checked, white people still didn't invent the blues. So, he...
Well, you know, the white people have been through a lot in history. They need to sing the blues. All those songs where you're working hard in, out in the fields. Yeah,
yeah, so, you know, the blues.
No, the Irish, we were slaves, but we don't make bloody songs about it.
So, 8 years pass by, Jeremy, since this horrible accident, where we get to meet Angela, all grown up, the little girl who had survived the accident. Unfortunately, her brother didn't make it through. And her and her cousin Ricky are about to go to camp when we meet her nutty, eccentric Aunt Martha, who she lives with.
Richard, Angela! Oh, here you are. Look what I did. I packed you and your cousin some goodies for the ride up to camp. Wasn't that nice of me?
Any chips?
Why, of course. I believe there's a whole bag.
I'm almost sure of it.
Angela, isn't there anything special my little girl would care for?
We gotta go, Mom. It's getting late.
Why, of course you do, dear. We wouldn't want them to leave without us now, would we? No? No, I'm afraid that that wouldn't do. Come, children. Let's be on our way.
I really hope that this actress actually runs an acting school to help other actors become exactly like her.
Sir, what's your name? Bradley Cooper? Please come over here, please. I really enjoyed what you were doing as an actor. I don't like to, you know, tell people exactly what they need to do, but could you maybe try it with a little bit more pizzazz this time, Mr. Cooper? Show the class what I'm teaching you.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
So, crazy-ass Martha mentions that, don't forget this, children. Here's your physicals. Hopefully they don't find out. No, that wouldn't do at all.
The only thing that you need is a scene of Aunt Martha doing her makeup, and she just like smears it all over her fucking face like a fucking clown and shit. Yeah.
What I like to do is first draw pentagrams all over my body first. That's how they know you're ready to go out into the public.
Kids, it's Saturday morning. You ready to watch your Gigi Allen video? He just put out a new concert.
So, the kids pour out of the buses as they arrive
at camp. For those
that
are noticing, that is another pun for this broadcast.
That's very good, very good. So, the kids pour out of the buses as they arrive at camp, where we get to meet Sweet Artie.
Welcome to Camp New Jersey.
Artie, they are too young to eat.
Hold
on. Your mouth water, don't it? Artie, they are too young to even understand what's on your mind.
Then, good buddy, there ain't no such thing as being too young.
I'm the king
You're
of cartoons.
You're just too old.
I hope you don't rape anybody today, Artie.
Well, Artie has clearly turned out to be a bit of a predator, so I made a special song just for Sweet Artie.
Artie Lang.
Here's my Sweet Artie song for you folks.
First day at camp again, summer's fresh and new. Canoe and sports and games keep you from feeling blue. But here I am in the corner, your sweaty kitchen man, making all the corn on the cobs to feed all the kids again. You're only 12 or 13, that seems perfect to me. 'Cause I'm your life I'm about to defy. 'Cause I am your camp, pedophile.
Oh, yes, Artie, the sweet camp pedophile.
You know, it'd be great if Gacy could only be a cook somewhere.
Yeah, you know, missed opportunity. You know, Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you never take.
But it's not like Gacy would ever rape a young girl.
I also like, by the way, I say he's one of the camp pedophiles because the other guy who just heard him said that, he's like, oh, Audie, you always talk about fucking kids. I like how he's just completely okay with the fact that he's like trying to fuck one of these teenage kids.
By the way, listeners, that was another movie pun.
Good work. Good work, Jeremy. Good work. So Ricky meets up with an old friend who says, wait till you see Judy, and then motions that she's got big old titties that she grew this
she's
summer.
She's at least a B cup.
At least a solid B.
At least 5 foot tall.
By the way, it really seems like they hired all of the children that would one day become the Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's just everyone is just a black-haired, Italian, raven-haired
and
woman.
And who was supposed to play Julie?
Who's that?
Jane Krakowski.
Oh, who is from?
I don't know what from, but I just know the actress because I do love her. Oh, her biggest show is obviously Third Rock from the Sun. Thirty Rock from the Sun with John Lithgow and what's her name?
John Lithgow.
Yes,
Third Rock from the Sun.
We are Third Rock from the Sun. Rockefeller Place. But no, yeah, she is so freaking hot.
You love her, don't you? Well, you'll find out why she dropped the role as we move further into this film. So Judy is busy talking to some teenage camp counselors who are paying a lot of attention to this new heavy-chested girl. And Ricky comes over to confront her.
Who were those guys?
Just some boys I met today.
Weren't they a little old for you?
Don't you know girls mature before boys?
That's bullshit and you know it.
Ricky, I don't have time for your nonsense right now.
Well, excuse me, bitch.
I also like that Judy has graduated from the same school of acting that Martha did. He was like, yes, this is my greatest protege. Her name is Judy. So,
okay, I want you kids to overact as best you can. Overact the fuck out of these scenes.
Angela, we get to follow Angela around a little bit. She's a real weirdo. Seeing Myrtle all those years ago has really corrupted her mind. The girl counselors and Judy think she's weird as fuck. So, and she's not talking to anybody. It's important to mention. She hasn't said a word yet in the film. So next we meet strong ass Ronnie. Who
I prefer in scenes if she didn't talk, but she just go like this. Hey Angela, how you doing?
Puberty. It's getting to me again. So
for anybody that hasn't been noticing, that's another film pun.
Boom. So strong ass Ronnie comes over. He's one of the camp counselors that only wears short shorts and his only purpose in this film is to be the nice camp counselor that whose peen can be seen through his shorts in every scene and has the biceps of a young Hulk Hogan.
I'd like to think that this film everybody that didn't wear short shorts wasn't gay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there was probably a lot. Gay guys.
You think there
film.
Was? I think there was a time of short shorts where they were acceptable, and we need to bring
there
those back.
There was a time.
This is 83,
in
dude. This
bars
is good.
In New York and in Baltimore, they're still acceptable. So.
I mean, they all had those handkerchiefs hanging out of their back pocket, which meant heterosexual males.
Make eye contact.
Water sports. So, By the way, if you've never seen the Cruisin' Play set, that's what we're referencing there.
I prefer the video game Cruisin' World.
Ah, yes.
Cruising! Yeah! You're cruising for gay sex!
Yeah, it would be great if they took the game Cruising USA and just made it gay sex pickup, right? Like
gay sex cruising!
You gotta win the race to go pick up some gay sex! It's just waiting for you at the finish line.
Can you also say your favorite line from the movie Highlander?
No, I'm not, because we're going to save that for a future episode.
We already did Highlander.
Have we done Highlander?
I'm pretty sure we did.
We have not done Highlander, dude.
You sure?
We have not, because I would have done the work for it.
So.
I would have done the work. I would have things on this. We've never done Highlander, believe it or not.
How did we miss that?
I don't know. It's a great film.
Hell,
anyway.
Even the bad one, Highlander 2, is worth doing.
God, don't make me do Highlander 2. Yeah. Highlander 1 is a classic. All I need is this Frenchman to come out here and tell you about how he's Scottish. What's wrong? You cruising for a piece of ass? Anyway, strong ass Rodney comes over and notices that Angela hasn't eaten anything since she's been there. So he takes Angela to the kitchen to see if Artie can make her up something special. Ricky goes to check on Angela, who's been brought back into the walk-in freezer where she's about to be sexually assaulted, and luckily Ricky is able to stop it just in time.
You sure are a sweet-looking little cupcake, Angela. Yeah. I think I got something you're gonna like real good.
Is it corn on the cob?
Hey, what are you doing?
Keep your mouth shut, Amy. I didn't say nothing. Got it, nothing.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want.
Now get the hell out. John Wayne Gaines.
Oh, man. Very, very exciting. Stopped a good sexual assault there.
Another episode of Cooking with Gacy.
So, Artie goes to prep the corn, which is in, like, this giant, 5-foot-tall boiling pot. He starts throwing the corn in there, and it's he's out of salt. So he goes to go grab some salt as a mysterious figure enters the kitchen area.
A small hand grabbing the chair.
A small hand goes and grabs the chair as he's throwing stuff in.
Come on, kid. Get me down, I'll make you a nice ice cream sundae, okay?
As he's...
What the hell are you doing?
He pulls him off the chair, and the boiling pot of water falls all over Artie, and he's not doing too good after this.
Just so happens that none of the water is on the floor underneath him in any way, shape, or form.
No water around him, but... when they pan down at him, he's just got boils all over his face. They're just oozing fucking flesh out of it. It's pretty decent little scene here.
Good editing as he just screams for like 5 minutes straight.
Yeah,
so.
this is uncut. This is just how long he screams for this entire time.
And meanwhile, the black man comes in and just stares in shock for almost a minute straight.
Oh,
so,
not again. Damn it.
I hate to say the scene could have been better since he was precariously posed over that pot so that if he fell, somehow his entire body got into the pot so that his legs were outside of the Don't make me fall into this pot, even though it'd be humanly impossible to. Gosh. That will be left for the movie Ricky O. So
I do love me some Ricky O. So
gotta get a bigger pot.
The camp owner Mel comes in and he opts to pay off the kitchen staff to keep it under wraps. He's like, listen, it was a horrible accident. You tell everybody that they went home sick, you see, huh?
Should we allude to maybe Mel's religion in this film?
Might probably be a little on the stereotypically bad side. I wouldn't say there's anything
Mel.
Wrong with Mel. Everything, we're keeping things running 100% fine.
How else am I supposed to pay for things if things like this happen? You got to keep it quiet. New Jersey.
New Jersey. Well, so
anyway, he could be Italian.
He gives the new head chef a $50 raise. The rest of them get an extra $15 raise. Everybody is happy.
The payoff has been done.
So next we see our first ever recorded. I swear this is the first time ever recorded on film. The first ultimate sit-up challenge, Jeremy. the boys in the thing, it has no relevance to the movie.
I'm guessing that everybody on your rugby team has done this to somebody else on your rugby team.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have seen the ultimate sit-up done to another human being before.
You wonder how you guys get pink eye.
I don't know. But for those of you who aren't familiar with the ultimate sit-up is where you tell somebody you hold like a towel over their head with just a person with two hands. And as they do it, they were like, you're going to use all your force to do a sit-up. And we're going to prove to you that you're strong enough to beat my two hands to do this. And you let it go and they sit up into somebody's ass that's waiting up there. It's always real good. And if you're smart and if you're like my friend and former team captain of Salisbury Rugby, Bill Beck, you have a fart fully loaded. So that as it comes up, as you come up, there's also a fart waiting for you, like that. So only champions can do that one, though. Only champions.
Oh gosh.
So then they all head out to camp for the camp baseball game, Jeremy, because everybody played baseball in the early 80s, yes. Right? Our heroes end up winning, and even Mozart, the nerdy kid, is able to put down his calculator long enough to make a big catch for an out. Ugh, what a great day on the pitch. Later that night.
I think he was playing an electronic boxing game.
Yeah, he was playing some kind of electronic. Yeah. It looked, but it was on a calculator.
A Coleco boxing.
So later that night, at the camp dance, some of the counselors are there hitting on Angela.
Well, we were kind of wondering if maybe if she wanted to join us or something.
Should we note that they look at least 16 to 18 years old? She's supposed to be 13.
Listen, Angela, let's say me and you go for a little walk somewhere. What do you talk about tonight, huh? What's the matter? Can't you talk? I told you she was playing with half a deck. Angela the Nutcake. Ain't that right, Angela? Ain't you Looney Tunes?
Welcome to Camp New Jersey.
So Ricky comes over to defend Angela's honor once again. Angela seems unfazed by all of it, but still quiet and just staring at shit constantly.
I can't believe we totally missed not only the dialect of this film, but the kids in the opening scene on the boat with just the strongest, almost New York / New Jersey. Hey, go to the water over there.
Yeah, Mom, what gives? Let's go over to the water.
It was almost worse than anybody in the entire film. Anyway, let's keep moving.
Ricky's friend Paul comes over to hit on Angela, and before he leaves, she tells him good night. So she speaks, which is very nice. So she's kind of into the young Paul, who is quite the looker in his own right.
Let me say, she just has a beautiful voice.
She does. Oh God, it's the voice
Anybody
of an angel.
Keeping contact? There's another pun in this film.
Another pun. Another one dropped. But Judy sees all of this and gets a little bit jealous. Old big titty Judy just cannot handle.
Because there is one boy that does not want to have sex with her in the
room. There's one boy out there that doesn't want to fuck me. What is this? I didn't come here to get showed up by this flat-chested Angela.
Jeremy, you'd mentioned that Angela is a really beautiful song.
Not to give away anything, that is her name, Angela. That's named after an angel.
After an angel.
Oh. Angel, you're an angel. Angel, sent from heaven. Angel, you're the one. Believe in me, angel, my angel. Believe in me.
Jerry,
explain to our listeners what we're watching right now? Angel. You made me cue this up.
This is the interminable or indomitable John Langworthy.
Okay.
Where my cousin and I got a personal signed copy from back in the 90s called Dream Songs. And apparently this guy had like a cable show and was out of Rockville, Maryland. And we just got the biggest fucking kick because he can't sing worth his fucking life. But...
And he has the mannerisms. By the way, this video on YouTube is called TV John Sings Angel. And this is... I mean, his overacting makes... it makes fucking William Shatner look like Denzel Washington. I mean, he's really into this video.
And the worst thing is we went down to Victor Litz and we found another John Langworthy CD. And we were like, hey, what's up with this? And like the guys at Victor Litz knew what he was about. He's like, oh, yeah, man, John Langworthy rocks. So obviously, I think he's on to his own joke that he knows that he's not talented.
All right, so John Langworthy, okay, Langworthy. Sorry, so. big time. Do you think Joe Robinson will know about John Langworthy?
Definitely not, but he's very, very, very.
I'm gonna go with he does know who John Langworthy is. We'll see on the next corrections.
I would almost
one of us
on
is
it.
Wrong. One of us is wrong right here.
See, Joe actually knows people that are important and that matter in life. So,
do you think he was on 98 Rock back in the day? Do you think he ever met the Kirkster?
No.
And Lopez?
Well, there's a chance. There's a chance. They're different. But no, he was Rockville, and that was his little show, and okay. Probably never even known even up to Baltimore.
See, that's
what
you get from listening to the Quality Time podcast. Local musicians from Rockville, Maryland. That come out and do songs like Angel. So
he should have maybe had a little bit of. I'm surprised he didn't make it to Dr. Demento.
We'll put it up on the Facebook page, on the Quality Time Facebook page. Give us a like. Check out this post so you can see the horrible song by.
By the way, my favorite song, The Legendary Bard.
The Legendary Bard? should we put that one up instead?
Oh, gosh, that is so fucking painfully
all right, we'll
bad
see.
And makes me laugh every time I hear it.
So. Well, let's hop back into the movie here. So,
so Angela is like an angel.
So later that night, the counselors decide to go skinny dipping. All the boys hop in first. And then some of the one of the high-ass counselors convinces one of the girls to go on a canoe ride with him.
Can I say my favorite of the girls is the really tall redhead with the curly hair?
What was that? Is she great? Or?
She doesn't look great, but she's definitely my type.
All right.
Definitely about a 4.
All right. Solid. Rockville 7.
I love the fact that she's probably pushing 6 foot something compared to all the other girls in that scene.
You know, Tommy Cimbazzo, he likes a real tall woman. One that has like fingers that could like penetrate into your lower small intestine.
Or women that decide not to ever cut their fingernails anymore. Yeah. So they're like a foot long.
Oh.
Can't wipe their ass anymore. So.
I gotta use the bidet. I gotta use the bidet.
Gosh.
So Kenny and Leslie go on a lovely boat ride. Kenny ends up tipping the boat over to be cute and then swims. Leslie swims back ashore and he waits underneath the boat where there's like the little air pocket and thinking, and he's like, I'm gonna get a little makeout sesh after I just embarrassed this woman, because that's how love works. And
though she swummed ashore, she might be coming back.
She's gonna come back and I'm gonna get some fucking puss underneath this boat. So as he's underneath the boat, somebody else pops up, a mysterious person.
Who could it be?
Who knows? Oh, my gosh. Kenny is pulled under the water. And then the next morning, Kenny's body is found with a snake crawling out of his mouth.
Anybody that's keeping count, Eric just did a pun himself.
Yes, yes, yes. A mysterious person.
Mysterious pun.
I don't know if it's pun at all. It's just we're keeping the mystery.
We're
keeping the mystery.
So many times in this.
Well, he says it's a hot chick, but he says, hey, what are you doing here? And then pulls him under. So the boss goes and talks to the authorities. So Mel talks to the police to try to smooth over this little murder.
I'm pretty sure it was Artie that did it.
Yeah.
So, with his long black hair.
As far as I can tell, the boy drowned. Of course, we'll have to wait for the medical examiner to check him over before we can be certain.
Of course he drowned. He was horsing around, a canoe tipped over, he must have hit his head.
I don't think so. Weren't any bumps or bruises when I checked. Though, again, I'm no expert on this matter.
It was obviously an accident. I mean, the boy might have got scared and panicked, right?
That could be a logical explanation.
So it was one of those fluke accidents we could not have foreseen, and that is all there is to it.
You know, who I think also would have been perfect as the camp director would have been Dan Aykroyd as the bad toy salesman.
Yeah, well, anything could have made this guy die out here. Yeah.
Hey, look at this. This is my top selling canoe, Johnny Switchblade. Okay, it's a very safe canoe. Everybody loves these paddle boards.
Look, I usually lose at least 50 of these kids die at my camp every week. It's normal. They die. Kids die all the time.
So, Angela and the new boy Paul are flirting around, and the other girls get a little bit jealous. Meg, one of the older camp counselors, comes over and lays down the law with her.
You know who Meg is, don't you?
Who's Meg?
M-E-G. Meg.
Meg.
I like she even got a close-up just for that. Yeah. M-E-G.
Meg. I didn't pull the audio for that, but yeah, she's a real cunt in this movie.
I do her.
But hey, now at least she's talking to everybody. You know, she is saying some words.
Paul is really opening her up.
Paul and Angela have a really awkward kiss shortly after this. Angela kind of freaks out and then goes into her cabin. Judy then comes over to go hit on Paul. He pretends to be uninterested. So Meg then freaks out on Angela for not swimming the next day. Gives her a good shake. She's like, why won't you go swimming with the rest of us broads, Angela? Why won't you go hang out with me, M-E-G, the original from the LBC? That's Long Beach, New Jersey, California.
And THC.
THC.
With the TLC.
But she doesn't want to get in the water, and some other counselors come over to fucking break it up.
I think they decided to make an entire movie about her called The Meg.
They really do lay into Angela, though. I have some audio here about how bad they lay into her.
Hey, Angela, how come you never take showers when the rest of us do?
Oh!
Huh? You queer or something?
Oh!
You haven't reached puberty yet. Is that it? I bet you don't even have your period. That's enough, Judy. Angela's allowed to shower in the morning or any other time she wants to.
Plug it up. Plug it up.
Only dumb bitches don't have their period yet.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
So
that's why women never ever took showers anymore after the movie Carrie.
Yeah, yeah. So. Angela goes in to seek her cousin Ricky, gets hit with a water balloon on the way. Ricky comes out and starts talking shit to the boys that they had beaten. The guys that threw the balloon are the team that they beat in baseball the day prior. And he says, hey, why don't you get down here and fight me like a man? I'm a spicy Italian. I'm ready to fight for my cousin. And the boss comes over, Mel, and he warns all the boys to stop acting ridiculous. One of the bully boys goes in to go take a dump right after this, and then somebody slides a broom handle, locking him into the stall.
Real strong broom handle.
Then the window screen, we see a knife come up as he gets slit.
Hey, get that thing out of here! Come on, get it out!
And he throws a whole beehive into the fucking thing.
Come on, get it out!
I like his scream, so. Good editing.
Finally, the broom handle breaks. Thank God.
So,
I would prefer that he never broke out of that stall. And then when they open up the door, there's just shit.
Yeah, there's just like, oh my God, it's the biggest shit he's ever taken.
Mixed with bees.
They do have a pretty cool scene, though, of the dead body just covered with, like, bees on it, which
was
pretty neat.
It was almost Savini quality of a dead body, and it was that was probably the real money in this film was the
some of the dead bodies. They were pretty good. They made some good body casts.
And we didn't even
this.
Mention that the other dead body actually had a snake come out of his mouth.
I did. I mentioned that, but you kind of glossed over it.
Sorry,
I wanted to talk about it.
I was thinking
it,
about another joke. I'm sorry.
So Mel, at this point, thinks expects that he's finished. They need to shut down the camp. He's going to be finished. But he thinks he knows who did all of this to him. Who's trying to shut down my camp? I think I know.
Can we talk about our favorite movie with things coming out of people's mouths when they're dead?
What's that? Drag Me to Hell?
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one because, yes, my favorite of all time because it's kids has to be The Blue Lagoon. Because they find their ship cook dead on the beach the next morning, and they're like, oh, he's drunk, he's asleep. And they turn him over, and a fucking hermit crab comes out of his fucking mouth.
That's a good favorite.
So
the next night, Paul and Angela slip off to the lake. Teenage love flourishes as they chase each other and then start making out, but Angela doesn't want to go too far. She's a flashback to her dad as a child having gay sex. I don't understand.
Were we supposed to figure out that there is no mother in this situation, or that maybe dad does have a boyfriend?
I don't know, but for some reason, there's just a random... It's one of the guys that witnessed it in the first scene is just watching. He's like, hey, you guys get out of the way! And they're having gay sex right now. So
maybe the guy on the beach was his gay lover?
Was him. Yeah, that was the same guy who's in the bed right here.
Okay.
So
I didn't put that two and two together.
She has this flashback. She freaks out and runs off. Now, tomorrow, they're playing Capture the Flag. Big capture the camp-wide capture the flag game. Paul confronts Angela about why she ran off. She says she just wasn't ready. Judy comes over to hit on Paul. Now Ricky goes to grab Angela and says he's got a great plan about how they can capture the flag by them cutting through the woods and sneaking up from behind.
What could go wrong?
As they're sneaking through the woods, they find Judy and Paul making out.
That wasn't so bad, was it?
I guess not.
Angela! Angela!
Hey, where are you going?
You're a real scumbag, Judy, you know that?
Fuck you, Ricky. You're just jealous. Same to you.
Because I have tits.
You know, when you got boobs, you make the laws, okay? Master Blaster runs Barter Town. And I am 13 years old with rocking tits. Henceforth, I make the rules at this camp. So
I am a size B, so take that, boys.
Paul sees Angela later that day and tries to console her. Judy comes up and then drops this line on him.
Angela, you sure are forgiving. Especially after he told me what a prude you are.
Oh!
That is the word you used, isn't it, Paul?
I gotta go.
Bye, Paul.
Remember when being called a prude was a bad thing? You know, I remember being called a prude before. I feel like it doesn't exist today. Prude doesn't. Prude isn't a thing. Is prude still a thing? That you're such a prude?
Well, that's the only thing you say to girls to try to guilt them into having sex with you. So.
You think it still works today? Do you think my daughters are going to be called prudes one day? And I'm going to be like, of course you are, dear. Yes. You're very prude. As I become a Jewish dad as I get older.
As Donnie Darko would say, you're supposed to wait until at least 13. So,
True that. Yeah. So Boss Mel talks to Ricky has a little chat with him. Judy taunts Angela and tells her to go swimming. Meg comes over. I went too far. I need to go further, right? Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, Judy comes over to Angela and tells her to go swimming. Meg comes over and picks her up to throw her into the water while Mel is talking to Ricky, so Mel can't fucking save her his sweet cousin. Mel is... Ricky can't stop us, right? So she gets tossed in and is super traumatized by the entire experience. Ricky promises they won't get away with this. So Next scene is Meg and Jerry have the night off. They're two of the other counselors, right? Meg talks to Mel and says she'd like to have dinner with him at 9:30 at Mel's place. So this is our second solid pedophile, because Mel is like a 60-year-old man. And Meg is definitely not 18, but he's going to go bang. And what does Meg see? She's like, oh, fucking sweet, sexy Mel. That guy who looks like a guy in a horror movie that tells you don't go there because you're all
like
doomed.
He's still under 70.
Oh, he looks like he has a 401k.
He still kind of looks like an old 55.
He looks like a guy that would get caught on To Catch a Predator. He wouldn't get away with it. He would almost, definitely be.
He almost looks as hot as Mr. Furley from Three's Company. Did you ever read the trivia that says, of course, he was dying of lung cancer and died months after this film?
Oh, man, this was Mel's last movie. R.I.P. Mel.
And that he was actually trying to cover up the fact that he was sick and dying during the filming.
So
swan song.
Meg goes to get showered up for the night, but the cabin that she's staying in is already full. Everybody's taking a shower, so she goes next door to the empty cabin when the killer enters. And we see the shadow come in with knife in hand, and she gets stabbed right through the fucking stall of the shower, which is pretty fucking cool. It's got some really good sound effects in this.
Hells yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It's not just a stab. It's like a stab and then rips all the way down. It's clearly a strong man's hands had to do such a fucking act of vicious, you know, Jason Voorhees like.
Eric has dropped another pun for the film.
Another clue for the end. I don't know. These aren't puns. These aren't play on words. I just don't understand why you keep calling them that.
Well, it seemed as if it might take a man's hands to do something that strong.
Yeah, okay, all right, fair enough.
A pun,
okay.
I don't know what a pun is.
Okay, I think I'm dropping clues. The clues would be a little bit easier, I think, for everybody to digest.
Okay.
All right, so Eddie...
Joe will correct everything after this episode.
Eddie takes some kids to go camping in the woods for some odd reason. I guess it's camp out in the fucking woods night. The kids complain to Eddie in the middle of the night to go back to the camp proper. So he takes a couple of them, but leaves the rest of the bitch-ass kids behind when the murderer comes upon them. We don't see what happens to these kids, but meanwhile, Mel is looking for Meg all over the place. He's trying to get some hot 16-year-old pussy, and he can't find it. So Judy, in the meantime, hides a boy under a bed as Mel enters the cabin. Mel then checks the abandoned cabin next door, finds Meg's body, and he's sure it's Ricky for some reason.
He did it. Get back at me. I had him. I let him go. Forgive me. Please forgive me. I'll stop him. Won't get away back. Never get away from me again.
How dare he ruin my pedophilia?
It's a good thing that the music sounds nothing like Friday the 13th.
Nothing at all.
If they could only add in a little ch-ch-ch.
So Mel's off to go find Ricky because he thinks that Ricky is the killer. Now, meanwhile, Judy is back in her cabin.
Julie!
Curling her hair with a hot curling iron.
What could go wrong?
When the killer enters. She comes in and, I'm sorry, what clearly looks like Angela comes in, right? Like the silhouette of Angela, we can almost see her face, comes in and... enters the room, comes in and punches Judy's lights out real quick, then takes the curling iron, and it doesn't show you exactly what happens, but we can allude that he probably just shoved that thing in her pussy. Am I wrong on that? Or that is that Was it a curling iron to the pussy that kills Judy right here?
Where's the easiest place to enter a woman with a curling iron?
Could be anywhere. Who knows? Well, I know that they had filmed the dead body of Judy at one part, but they said it was too graphic and was going to earn an NC-17 rating for the film.
And also, the reason why Jane Krakowski did not want to be in the film.
Yeah, because apparently they didn't want the pussy fucking shot of the curling iron shoved in there. So...
Yeah, you know, there's certain things you explain to the actors, like, this scene, we put a curling iron up your yahoozie.
So, Eddie then comes back to go check on the kids that he left in the woods, because he's a horrible camp counselor, and sees that they've all been stabbed to death in their bags. Like, oh, I just left these kids here, and they're now dead. Shit! Am I going to get my $15 bonus? I don't know! Now, meanwhile, Mel goes on the assault for Ricky, pulls him into the woods, yells at him for ruining his pedophilia. he almost beats Ricky senseless and completely unconscious, runs realizing what he's done, is committed an act of murder against a child. Then he stops in front of an archery target when he can see who the real killer is.
It can't be you.
And he catches an arrow right through the throat in front of the archery target.
That's ironic.
Yeah, who would have thought?
And who would have thought somebody would get killed by an archery target, unlike a Friday the 13th film?
Yeah. So the police show up and start searching, and it is important to notice the policeman's mustache here, because it is so clearly not a real mustache.
Drawn on Phil Hartman mustache.
It's the cop from earlier in the movie. He had to shave his mustache, and he couldn't grow it back in time. So for continuity, they had to draw it back on him, and it looked fucking horrible. So... Paul meets up with Angela. Paul then meets up with Angela, who suggests that they should go skinny dipping, or Angela suggests they should go skinny dipping, and Paul's very excited about this. I mean, hot young chick who's probably not crazy at all, ready to go fucking dip their toes up in the water. The police then find Ricky half alive. They check the cabin nearby and find Judy's body in there. So everybody's popping up in the final scenes here.
Can I say the best place to, skinny dip with a hot young girl is probably on the dock. And they usually call that docking.
That docking with my son? Is that what you're
I have just dropped
at?
Another pun for the film.
Dropped another pun for the fucking film.
I think
film,
it's an actual
film,
pun.
Film, 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 film. So,
which also means my favorite boardwalk song called Docking Under the Boardwalk.
So the two other counselors find Angela caressing Paul's severed head on the beach when she all of a sudden enters a flashback.
You're going to enjoy living with us so much. Yes, I know you are. As a welcome home present, I bought you such wonderful new clothes. I just hope that Richard doesn't get jealous that I didn't get him anything. Ah, but then he is such a dear. I'm sure that he won't mind. You see, I've always wanted a little girl. But of course, when my husband left... Oh, well, that's all water under the bridge, as I always say. Water under the bridge. But it certainly will be a nice little surprise when Richard comes home to find a little girl in the house. Yes, I've always dreamed of a little girl just like you. I mean, we already have a boy, so another one simply would not do. Oh, no, absolutely not. A little girl would be so much nicer, don't you think so, Angela? Such a lovely name. Why, I believe it means angel. Why, yes, I'm sure it does. I know you're going to like that name. Won't you, Peter?
Bad parenting.
So we see that in what is the big shock of the moment is they look at Angela standing there fully nude, severed head. And the first thing I can see is they don't mention the severed head at all. They mention this fully nude man with Angela's face standing there. First of all, making a noise of a walking dead. For,
hey, I'm a man.
See my penis.
And you get a good peen shot right here. You get a good shot of the peen. Apparently, this shot was due, they hired a very skinny man to do this shot and put a prosthetic face of Angela's molded head on. And apparently, he had to get real drunk before he could get fully nude in front of the camera.
Also, we believe that the head was taken. So
yeah. So let's listen to.
Oh my God, she's a boy.
At the camera going,
it's just flawless. It's so flawless.
Oh.
And my favorite is why don't they entertain the fact that she might be a herm?
Yeah, you never know. Maybe it's like a Jamie Lee Curtis situation or anything. Yeah. Anyway, I made a special song just for the end of the show here. Oh my God! That's not a girl! That girl's a dude! This girl's got a piece! 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 Girl's got a piece!
Girl's got a piece! Girl's got a piece! Girl's got a piece! Girl's got a piece! Girl's got a piece!
That girl's got a piece! And a nice peen at that.
Oh, there we go. And that brings us to an end. Sleepaway Camp.
Dare play the last.
Hey, shout outs to Taylor Jenkins for the movie selection this week. Great film. Thank you so much. And a franchise that spawned multiple sequels and a recent reboot. So Sleepaway Camp really holding up to the test of time of seeing transgendered people as murderers. So check all that out. Hey, you can check out all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. All that shit. I got a bunch of murder mysteries coming up in the month of December. So come out to those shows, dialivingproductions.com for all that shit, or Eric Comedy. You can find all of it. And I got a special coming out soon, so get ready to check that shit out. Jeremy, take us out.
Mother is an old woman.
First day at camp again, summer's fresh and new. Canoeing, sports and games keep you from feeling blue. But here I am in the corner, your sweaty kitchen man, making all the corn on the cobs to feed all the kids again. You're only 12 or 13, that seems perfect to me. 'Cause I'm your life I'm about to defy. 'Cause I am your camp pedophile.